Speaking this morning on the thought of standing strong, reading Psalm chapter 34, beginning with verse 17, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Let's bow our hearts and let's ask God's blessing upon the sharing of his word this morning. Father, we just thank you today. We thank you for your peace and blessing. We thank you, God, for ministering to us as we lifted up your name in song and as we remembered your death to the partaking Lord of Holy Communion. Lord, now as we worship you through the ministry of the word, we ask for your anointing to rest upon us, both upon this speaker and upon every hearer. And we ask this in your holy name today. Amen. Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 33, "In this world you will have trouble." He didn't say you might have trouble. He didn't say you'll probably have trouble, but you might not. But of a certainty, if you live life, whether you know Jesus or not, you are going to encounter trouble or problems along the way. And if you've lived any amount of time and you haven't had a problem, you're either out of your mind and not living in reality, and forgive me for speaking frankly, but sometimes you got to call a horse a horse. Or you've lived such a sheltered life, you wouldn't even be here today. You'd be locked up someplace. Problems are inevitable in life, even after you accept Jesus as Savior. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. And he was speaking to the disciples. He wasn't speaking to the publicans and the drunkards. And I'm not speaking down to those people. We're all sinners. Some of us have been publicans and drunkards. And bless God, God has saved us and redeemed us and exchanged us. But he wasn't speaking to the unbeliever or unrepentant person. He was speaking to his disciples who were following him, and who had pledged to lay down their lives for him imperfectly before the crucifixion, more perfectly afterwards. And so certainly we can expect problems in our lives as well. But I thank God that John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 33, does not end with the phrase, "In this world you will have trouble." But Jesus ends on a positive note. Amen? Because our God is a God of blessing and peace and deliverance. "Take heart," he said. "I have overcome the world." And just because we go through problems and we go through difficulties does not mean God has forsaken us, and surely does not mean God will not deliver us. Once again, the last portion of my text this morning from Psalm 34, verse 19, "A righteous man may have many troubles." You might not have just one problem going on at a time in your life. You might have several going on. But the Lord delivers him from them all. God's there for each and every one of them in Jesus' name. However, to receive God's blessing in our lives and God's deliverance, we must be a people who live by faith, which in this case, as it relates to problems, we trust in God that he's not only there and he's not only aware of or cognizant of the struggle that we're going through, but that he'll bring us through whatever problem we might be facing and bringing his victory into our lives so that his name be glorified. We must believe this to be true in order to receive it, because Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to believe God. And as far as both the unbeliever and the believer, for that matter, trusting God, faith is a necessity. Believing that God is and rewards those that diligently seek Him, as Hebrews 11 says, is important. And I say that because when we face problems, it brings about one of those instances in our lives sometimes where we have to fight for our faith. Faith is not something that we can approach in a pedestrian manner. And what I mean, we can just saunter through life believing in God, because through many different avenues, your faith in Jesus will be challenged. And one of those avenues is trouble or problems. Jude writes in Jude verse 3, Jude being a one chapter book, I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. Specifically, he's talking about those who might come in and deceive people away from believing in Jesus. But broadly, we can apply it to faith as far as there are different things, in this case, problems. And forgive my voice, it's been scratchy since last Sunday, and I don't know if the weather has anything to do with it. But I want to be free to express myself loudly, because I just feel comfortable doing it that way. You don't have to, but that's just me. But that we have to contend during problems, because problems can assault our belief in Jesus Christ and interfere with the deliverance and the power of God moving upon us. In Jesus' name. So this morning I'd like to take some time and I'd like to look at some of the causes to the problems that we face, because sometimes our reaction to the cause of our problem can hinder us from believing in God for His deliverance in Jesus' name. And I'd like to this morning, in the process of talking about these problems, think of problems like accidents, specifically car accidents. How many of you have ever been in a car accident? Most I have been in a couple. And I hope if you haven't, you never do. But as far as car accidents, some car accidents, we can't blame on the weather. We can't blame on the other guy. We can only blame ourselves, because we have made the decision to drive recklessly. In fact, I believe my first car accident, it was my fault. I was trying to show off and drive too fast for the road that I was on and ended up meeting a tree in a very personal way. No one got hurt, bless God. But if you make the decision to speed, if you make the decision to drive under the influence of drugs or alcohol, make the choice to run through stoplights, red lights, stop signs, and things of that nature, refuse to yield at the yield sign, you might get away with it for a while. But eventually, you're going to run into an accident, and you cannot blame anyone but yourself. And such it is with some problems that we might face in our lives. Just as reckless driving can lead to accidents, reckless living can lead to problems. If we abuse our health, if we eat poorly, and we take things into our bodies which are harmful to us, then we can expect sickness. If we abuse or neglect our family, we can expect issues with our spouses. And we can expect problems in our children's lives if we're not fulfilling our calling as parents. If we show up habitually late to work, or if we're lazy, or if we foster strife within the workplace, we can expect to be reprimanded, suspended, or even fired. And we cannot blame anyone for that. Those things happen because of us. problems in life. Not all the times, but sometimes in some people's lives, many times, come because they have made bad choices. And the fallout of that, when we reap, forgive the word, benefit of bad choices, is that of guilt. I am receiving exactly what I deserve because I have made so many stupid and wrong decisions in my life. And so I deserve what we're going through, what I'm going through. And the worst part of that, and you do, and I do when I make mistakes, and when consequences, unpleasant consequences happen, I can't say God's unfair or the devil's doing it. I did it. It's to me, and I can't blame anyone, and I have to accept that. But I can't, in my mind, allow my mind to feel guilty to the point where I think not only am I getting what I deserve, but I cannot be a recipient of God's grace through this. God loves us no matter what. Isn't that not evidenced by what we celebrated this morning? And the giving of Jesus Christ on Calvary for our sins. Did anyone deserve it? Did his disciples? You know, if we're thinking of it in human sense, Jesus could have said, look, these 12 guys, you know, not only the masses that I prayed for and I healed, and they're turning on me and they're crying out to Pilate, crucify him, crucify him. But these 12 men that I've spent these 3 years and I've invested in and taught and blessed, and three of them even saw me translated in glory at what's known as the Transfiguration, where Jesus talked with Elijah and Moses. And they turned on me. Forget it. But no, Jesus, his sacrifice on us wasn't based on what we did and our love for him. It was solely based on his love for us. At our worst, he died for mankind at its worst. And even when we're in a pit or hole or facing problems because we've made bad decisions, we are still not exempt from the grace and the deliverance of God. Psalms doesn't say many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord only delivers from those whose problems came from some other area but themselves. All problems, even self-made. Look at David's life. Wonderful man of God. I thank God my life isn't in a scripture someplace and all my faults are out there. And he made mistakes and God brought him through wondrously. But guilt can overwhelm you, self-condemnation, and keep you from believing that God will bring you through that problem you're facing. You will have consequences, no doubt about it, and some may last. Amen. But God can give you the grace to get through part of his deliverance. But problems don't always come by our own hand, do they? If we're honest. Problems come many times when we've done absolutely nothing wrong. We've been fine. We've done everything that we're supposed to do. I've been the perfect husband. I've been the perfect wife. I've been the perfect employee. I've tried to take care of my body. I've tried to do this at church and so on and so forth. Yet problems still come in my life. Why? Well, when we look at accidents, some accidents come because we drive too bad. But in some cases, accidents happen as due to something called road rage. Anyone know what that is? I have no idea what that is. I've never been angry behind the wheel. Lord, forgive me. It's under the blood. That's why I can say that. But people do crazy things. I remember one guy, just saw a short time ago, he's cursing wildly at the person in front of him because he didn't go through a red light. You know how the light turns yellow and, you know, I think I can make it through. Well, he chose to do what the law says, stop if safe to do so when there's a yellow light. Oh, this guy was irate. I think he would have punched him out if he was face to face with him, or at least try it. People do crazy things out of anger. And sometimes the problems that come into your life are a result of malice against you. And as our sister mentioned as we were talking this, as we began the message this morning, if you accept Jesus as your Savior, you become an even bigger target. To whom? Well, two groups the Bible talks about. One, of course, it refers to the spiritual battle that we engage in when we accept Christ as Savior. Now, I'm not one who's looking for a demon under every rock and behind every tree. And I'm not one who's going to blame a demon for everything. Well, I ate too much chocolate and I don't feel good. I rebuke the evil spirit of chocolate. Believe me, there are people like that. Seriously. I need to rebuke the spirit of Randy when I eat too much chocolate. But I do acknowledge and realize that Satan is real. And the demonic forces didn't decide just to stop after the book of Acts as far as their influence. Of course, common scripture we think of is Ephesians 6:12. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Let me tell you, the enemy, you're a marked man or woman if you have accepted Christ as Savior. And he has two goals in mind for you. Number one, he wants to make your life miserable. But not just to make it miserable. He wants to make it miserable so that you'll get angry or frustrated or despairingly so that you become, number one, a bad witness of what a Christian should be, a person who walks in victory and joy and peace no matter what happens. But secondly, to shipwreck your faith, to get you to reject Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Things are so bad, how could there be a God? I'm not going to serve God anymore. I'm just going to serve the bottle, or I'm going to try Confucius or Buddha or something else. He's against you. It goes on. And when this happens, we have to be people of action. We can't give up. Because the enemy, the Bible says, hallelujah, that the forces of evil in the book of Revelation, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. When the enemy comes against us, we need to get down on our knees and pray and believe God so that we can exercise His authority over the enemy. And as Matthew chapter 17 or 18, forgive me for not having the reference, dealing with spiritual forces that might be coming against you and trying to wreck not only you, but your family. Jesus, as He rebuked His disciples who could not cast out a demon from a deaf and dumb boy, said, this kind does not come out but by prayer and fasting. Let me tell you, spiritual warfare is necessary at times in people's lives. Praying and interceding and seeking God, hallelujah, for His authority, His power, and because naturally you can't do anything against demonic forces. They operate in the plane level. We can't even see them unless God. We need God to intervene, which sometimes calls for prayer and fasting. But that's not the only group of road rage people or individuals against believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, in the conclusion of the Beatitudes, says this in verse 11, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Who's this saying? Is this saying, blessed are you when Satan comes against you? When man comes against you. Man, without the influence of Satan, we're always blaming Satan, and you know he has a lot of blame to take. But let me tell you, if you stand for Christ, men and women will hate you. Some will love you, and they should love you, and you should love them. But others will hate you. Men love darkness better than light because it hides their evil deeds. And seeing you live for Jesus will just increase the guilt in their lives over what they're doing. And will just increase the conviction that they need to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior in their lives. And they will, according to Jesus, not me, insult you, persecute you, bring problems into your life. Unfortunately, even sometimes these assaults come from people who are within the church, who say they're Christian, they may be, but they're acting in the flesh, or they're just great pretenders, not truly Christians at all. Don't kid yourself. Envy, malice, greed, it exists in the body of Christ and will always exist until we're in glory. It shouldn't, but it happens. And bless God, we're here for everybody. And I'm not saying we let everything go, but you know, people are going to be all stages of their walk of life. What's the fallout of that? Well, when someone big, you know, here, Corey, if Corey, you know, if we're standing side by side, you'd notice a height differential. I've used this example before. If we had a pose off, you would see a definite big difference. And if I knew Corey was mad, and I know this would never happen, look at his face, there's no malice in it all, but if I heard he wanted to pound my lights out, which would never happen, I think I might choose to go someplace else that day. Wherever he's not, that's where I'll be. When someone more powerful than you, or a gang of people, and lies can be persuasive, and who hasn't had a lie told about them that has brought pain into their lives? It can cause us to be fearful. And when we're fearful, do we stand in faith, believing God for His deliverance? Bless God. And I've stood up to some bullies in my life. And I've never been in a fight. God's been gracious. Sometimes you have to. Fear causes you to run away. Not stand up for who you are in Christ. And when you do that, when you're fearful, you don't spend that time in prayer that you need to break the power of the enemy off your life, off your family. Just let it, you know, I'm afraid. Because I know, and let me tell you, when you start, if you start praying and interceding and seeking God for supernatural deliverance in your life, the first thing will happen is things will get worse before they get better. And I think that's what people are afraid of. And I don't want to go a whole thing, but just a quick example is that of Pharaoh and Moses. Moses had God on his side, and he came to Pharaoh. God demonstrated his power through the casting down the rod and the serpent, and then the taking that up, and Pharaoh's servants did that too, but Moses' serpent swallowed up all their serpents. Let my people go. It took 10 times, 10 requests, and 10 mighty demonstrations of the power of God before Pharaoh's heart was softened and let people go. Satan is not intimidated when people come. But let me tell you, he will be defeated if we continually come. Amen? But when we're fearful, we don't do that because I don't want things to get worse. And as far as people, how are we to react to those people who lie, who persecute us for the name of Christ? Lie about them too. Oh yeah? They said that bit. Let me tell you about him. No, we're to pray for them and we're to love them. But if we react in the flesh, we don't want to do that. And we don't do that. Our reaction to where our problems come from is very important. Thirdly, sometimes accidents happen and it's nobody's fault. One time we were driving to an airport. We were living in Pennsylvania and we're in the mountains, literally in the middle of nowhere. I'll describe this city like this. We had to drive an hour to get to Walmart. So that's how isolated that city was, about 5,000 people something. So we're driving these little country roads, early morning, freezing mist, went over a dip in the road, hit ice, and hit a tree. Wasn't the tree's fault. Wasn't my fault. Maybe I could have been more careful. It just happened. It was an accident. Even two people can collide. Someone hit ice or something of that nature. There wasn't any malice involved. It was just something that happened. And some problems that we encounter in life, family or emotional, whatever, spiritual, at the job, whatever it might be, aren't due to the fact that the enemy's against us, aren't due to the fact that somebody hates us, aren't due because God we've done something and now we have to accept the consequences of bad deeds. We've been, you know, taking care of ourselves or whatnot, you know, trying to live justly and walk humbly and righteously before God. It's simply the fact that we live in an imperfect world. This is not the new earth. This is not even the earth during the millennial reign. This is a world. In fact, the book of Romans says creation itself is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The world, this hunk of rock that we live on, itself is waiting for Jesus Christ to come. Because it's not perfect. And things happen because we live in an imperfect world. Jesus puts it this way in Matthew 5. He causes, speaking of His Heavenly Father, His Son to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the unrighteous and the righteous. What's He saying here? Sometimes good things happen to bad people. And sometimes problems happen to believers. And the problem that comes in that is when we've been doing everything right, everything to the best of our ability. And a problem comes. You know, we've been trying to be that good parent. We try to take care of our bodies. And we've been serving God. And we've been on time for work. Yet I still got laid off. Or I still got diagnosed with an illness. Or my kid fell into drugs. Or my wife left me for another man. And I didn't do anything wrong. What can happen when those things happen? Well, when we're angry and we're frustrated over things, it gives fertile ground for the seed of bitterness to lodge itself in our hearts. We can be bitter. Let me just share. I hate to share my own example, but because of what we're going through now, I can't help but, in being sick, and one of the things that I've been tempted to do but haven't bit into personally is the fact, why me and not this other guy as far as being sick? You look at someone who might abuse their bodies, why didn't they get sick instead of me? And not something I've been into, but the temptation of it has been there. If you give into that, you give fertile ground to bitterness. And what a bitter person does is just sits there and he broods, or she broods. What is a brooding person? It's just one, they're just so angry, all they can think about, all they dwell on, and all they talk about. In fact, a bitter person will usually end up being an isolated person because they're so focused on the anger over the problem that they're facing. All they think, eat, drink, sleep is that problem and the anger that they have with that problem. And let me tell you, when you're angry and you're brooding, you don't want to raise your hands and bless God, and you certainly don't want to pray because you're angry. And the person you're usually angry at, and it may manifest itself a different, you might take it out on your wife or your children or whatnot, but is God. God, why did you do this to me? Why did you allow my wife to leave? Why did you allow me to get laid off? Why did you allow me to... Why did you do this? This is unfair. Motions Job went through and hinder us from believing and trusting God. But bless God, we don't have to be a slave to not only the problem, but the source of the problem. Very quickly, let me share you three things regarding these three different scenarios. Guilt is something that we will face when our problems of our own making, but can be overcome when we have a full revelation of one of the most beautiful attributes of God, a manifestation of His love, a word that is grace. We talked about it, we sang about it this morning, we talked about it a little bit, that unmerited favor of God. I am what I'm supposed to be, and I'm experiencing what I'm supposed to be because I made a mistake, but God still loves me. And because He's a God of grace, my life is not without hope that I can get through this thing and get through victoriously in Jesus' name. Acts 4:33 says, with great power the apostles continue to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. How much grace does God have? Not just a little, not just a lot, but much, abundant grace. Grace, as that old hymn says, greater than our sin. You should never shy away from seeking God. God, I'm here, I lost my job because, you know, I cheated on my time card. Have mercy on me, and God will. He'll forgive you and restore you. He'll get you another job. Because he doesn't want to see his righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Regarding fear of the enemy or others, God is a God who calls us to a place of confidence. Hebrews 4:16, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. What happens when we're fearful is what we've got our eye on the adversary and not the eye on the winner. Not just the opponent. God is not the opponent of the enemy. God is the victor over the enemy. And when we get our eyes off the cross and our eyes on the person, or our eyes on the enemy and everything, Satan this and Satan that, talk more about Jesus and spend more time in God's Word and the power of his word, and spend more time in prayer and allow his faith to rise up in you in the name of Jesus, so that you will believe in your heart, not just your mind. That no matter how big my problem, and no matter how powerful the enemy or my boss or whoever it is who's persecuting me is, my God is greater. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Lastly, regarding frustration, what God has called us to is a place of submission. Submission. There are problems you face that there's no running away from. I can't run away from my sickness. I can't say, well, I'm just not going to do it. So I can just be frustrated and angry of all the times, or I could do what John 4:7 says, submit myself then to God. Same type of attitude that Job had, where he said, I believe to his wife, when everything other than his wife was taken from him, his possessions, his children, his wealth. He said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Said Job, what is a submissive life? It's a life that we have to learn to live, regardless if we're going through problems or not. Number one, it's a life that is a life of gratitude. Now, I'm not grateful for cancer. I don't thank God. I thank you for cancer. I don't pray that, because I've seen now firsthand that there's nothing good in cancer. It's evil. It's terrible. It's part of the curse. But I have thanked God because I have been so blessed this past year. And there is a huge silver lining to the cloud that is over my life at this current time in the name of Jesus. And I can tell you, and we can go on for a great deal of time, and I can tell you all the wonderful things that have happened to my life. But I need to maintain being a person of praise or gratitude and being submissive. Lord gives, we sang that this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord gives and takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Not only when you give, but when you take away. To be obedient. Can't say I don't like my situation, so God, I'm not going to, forgive the expression, play anymore. I'm not going to pastor anymore. I'm not going to teach Sunday school anymore. I'm not going to pray anymore. God, regardless if it's raining or sunny outside, you are still God, and you still need to be worshipped and served, and I still need to do what you have called me to do to the best of my ability. And thirdly, be resigned that we will be blessed. And not just, and it's important to be blessed that there is victory that's coming. Amen? Yeah. Amen. There is that light that is the end of the tunnel. But even along the way, I am going to be blessed. I'm going to learn things. God's going to give me small victories before the big one in the name of Jesus. And I can tell you of many things. And so to have that expectation in my heart that God, despite problems that will come, will be blessed. I'd like to ask our musicians to come this morning. And two things I'd just like to say in conclusion. Number one, in order to be prepared for problems when they come our way is to have the understanding that we will have problems. That they're going to be part of life. That you can't escape it. It's not enough to think, it won't happen to me. To see something happen to someone and it won't happen to me. I won't get laid off. Oh, you might. Or something else might happen. Not only might happen, something will happen that is unpleasant in your life and will challenge your faith. You need to understand it's going to happen so that you can be prepared. And number two, I'm not going to allow not only the problem, but from wherever that problem came from, the source of that problem, whether it's me, whether it's a guy down the street, whether it's Satan himself, or whether it's just a part of life, to keep me from believing and trusting in Jesus. God, I'm going to trust you no matter what, that you're going to bring me. Because many are the, quoting King James, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers from them all. Would you stand with me? And as our worship team begins to play, we're going to pray just a prayer together for God to help us through the problems we will face. And we'll get through, amen? And that we'll have the faith to get through them. In the name of Jesus, but also in Jesus' name, that God, in His infinite mercy and wisdom, will help us to be people who continue to contend for the faith. Amen? Who don't roll over and give up when problems come, but we'll fight. And let me tell you, when you fight, you will not, if you're fighting the way God has called you, and I don't want to preach another message, you won't fight with your own strength. You'll fight with the strength of God. God will give you not only the courage, He'll also give you that endurance in the name of Jesus to stand up for however long this thing is going to last in your life. He will uphold you. He will sustain you in Jesus' name. Let's pray and let's believe God together, and then we're going to sing a chorus of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord Jesus. But God, we just love you. And we thank you so much in the holy name of Jesus for giving your son Jesus to die for us. You died, Lord, when they hung you on Calvary's tree. You died for our sins, but you also died for our problems and our struggles, oh God. And just as you have brought Moses and David and Paul and Peter and all of those individuals through all the fires that they went through, some whose deliverance meant from passing this life to the next, and bless God for that in the name of Jesus. Because you are no respecter of persons, and because your love is just as great for us as it is for them, God. In the name of Jesus, we know that whatever problem we might face, and for whatever reason we might face that problem, you're there for us. And that you will get us through in the name of Jesus. God, help us never to forget that in the name of Jesus. So that our words might be as your people, the words of the Apostle Paul, as he looked his death face to face, the hands of the guillotine or the executioner. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. May that be our epitaph as well as the Apostle Paul, because we refuse to never cease contending or fighting for our faith and fighting for what you've done in our lives in the name of Jesus. So that, Lord, number one, you might be glorified. And number two, others may come and know and be blessed. We ask this all in Jesus' name.